Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning to everyone. This is Kingdom Advancement. This is your Blog Talk Radio show, ministry, or actually radio program, excuse me. And this is your host, Prophetess Lisa Cox. And I pray that you are blessed this day. It is the Sabbath day. It is the day that the Lord has made. It is his seventh day, his day of rest, which is entering into his joy and also resting in him. No worries, no fears, no doubts, no unbeliefs, not walking in anxiousness, and also being able to have some physical rest and spend some time with family. So I pray that you are listening today. I pray that this is going to help you. I'm going to be before you for a short time. So this is something that was on God's heart that he shared with me. And I love it when God shares his heart. It is good to hear the heart of the Father, the heart of God. And he's my Father because I'm his child, because Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, is my Lord and Savior, which makes me his child, his daughter. I'm a daughter of the King. And those of you who are listening to me today, I pray that there are kings that who are also leaders. We are also priests, and we are called of God, that you are the son and you are the daughter that's listening today. And if you are not, then you have the opportunity to know this same Yeshua, this same living God that I know. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. And so he is being presented to you today. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to come, Father, and minister to those who are listening under the sound of my voice. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. You are welcome on through the airwaves, through the atmosphere, in our lives, on this radio program. You are welcome to come and break every chain. Come and remove every burden. Lift the bondages off of people. Remove them, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you gave your son, Yeshua, to die for us on the cross and shed his blood in seven places, that we would be free and have abundant life and walk in your peace and your joy. Thank you for sharing your heart with us this day, O Father God. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, what you give to us and implant into us, impart into us, that nothing will be harmed, damaged, hurt, destroyed, Father God, or even held up, held back, or interfered with, Father, or, Father God, done away with, Father. But, Lord, we take it, and it's moving us forward, and we're moving forward with it. Father, we thank you and give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I cover this time in the precious blood of Yeshua and the lives of each and every one of the people as my own also. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for you this day that you are listening. And I praise God for his goodness. There is nothing and no one like him. He is awesome. He is awesome. So let's jump right into what the Father has been saying. He has given me this. He said, does karma have anything to do with me? There are people who believe in karma. And I hear it all the time. Well, you know, karma, that karma is going to come. Karma is going to take place. That person did so-and-so wrong or did me wrong, but karma is going to come after them. Karma isn't even, unfortunately, there are times where they're not using the right language. So does karma have anything to do with God? Has it have anything to do with God? Let's examine and take a look at what is being said about karma. Now, sometimes people just repeat what they hear other people say, and they don't even understand what it means. But karma comes from an Eastern religion, and it is not something that people just made up. It's part of being in Hindu, and it's part of Hinduism and Buddhism, and it's a person's, as it explains, excuse me, it's part of people taking action, okay? It's people's actions and statements of, as they want to say, of existence. And it's deciding their fate in the future's existence. Okay, they talk about destiny. God's a god of destiny. They talk about fate. Excuse me, or following as some effect cause. Okay, and that karma comes from K A R M A. Okay, that's how it's spelled. It comes from the Eastern religions, and I say Eastern religion because Buddhism and Hinduism are religions, and therefore it has nothing to do with the living God. It has nothing to do with what God says and how God says to handle situations and circumstances and the spirit behind it as far as God is concerned, because he's God. If it's not of him, he's the one that knows there's only two kingdoms that exist on the earth. And every spirit comes from those kingdoms. And there's a spirit behind everything, every word, every action, every deed, every behavior, even how a person's countenance is. There is a spirit behind it. There are seeds that were sown, and there's roots that are with that. And so karma has nothing to do with the kingdom of the living God. It comes from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the enemy. Yes, you heard me, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the enemy. It has nothing to do with God whatsoever. God says, and it's not about what man says. See, there's a problem here on earth. Man thinks that he trumps God. And man thinks that just because, well, everybody doesn't follow God, and everybody's not a Christian, and everybody's not in religion. Well, yes, everybody is not in religion. Religion is what is acts, religious acts. It's acts, continual acts that man do, and even some that are made up by man, not God, okay, that men are following. When I say men, I mean human beings. Okay, because when God mentions men in his word and he's talking to men, because God does talk to people and he talks to them even outside the Bible, meaning that it's not just the Bible where God is speaking. He's speaking in the earth today to human beings who live today. It's a matter of who's listening and who's connected, who's plugged into God and who is not. So he's speaking. When he says man, he's talking about human. And then when he says man, there are times where he is talking about an individual man, all right? So it's, you have to look at the context in which it is. Don't take it out of context. Unfortunately, we got the media in the world that does a lot of that. Take things out of context, and it's not even what it really means. It changes the meaning of things. But with the roots that come from that, and humanity, and on this earth, people think that, oh, well, because, you know, I don't follow God, what he has to say is totally null and void. His kingdom has nothing to do with me. You're absolutely right, to an extent, okay, because you can only be a part of one of two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms that exist, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And don't get it confused that the devil comes as a kingdom of light. I'm talking about the kingdom, not as a kingdom of light, as an angel of light. The kingdom of light is what God says is his kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is what God says is the kingdom of the devil, Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, the father of flies, lord of the flies, okay, Baal. And that's where all these Baalism root religions come from, because there is a root of Baal. Baal is a false god, and in a lot of Eastern religions, Baal is the root, it's the seed, but the root comes from the kingdom of darkness, okay? It comes from the kingdom of darkness, and it's full, that that false god of Baal is full of perversion, of human sacrifice, of foul behavior and attitudes and languages that are contrary to God, of traditions and customs that man have made that have nothing to do with God. And we as humans have to be careful. Men have to be careful with traditions that make the word of God not affect us, just like what God says in his word. You can have traditions, but is it so much to the point that it makes what God's saying not affect? Because that's what a lot of people are saying here on this earth. See, God is not a tradition. Human beings and government and organizations and businesses and institutions have labeled God, has labeled Christianity as tradition, has labeled marriage as tradition. It's not tradition. It is covenant. Okay? God has covenant with those who belong to him. God has covenant with humanity, where he said and made the rainbow in the sky. The rainbow doesn't belong to homosexuals. They didn't make it up. It belongs to God. He made it as his symbol, as his covenant and promise, not to destroy the earth by flood again. And they've taken it and made it and desecrated it for something else. And that's what God says. You cannot take something that is holy, that belongs to God, which he has ordained and made to be holy and has set aside for his purposes, and turn around and use it for something that he says is evil or perverted or twisted or sinful, and then call it good. Or say, well, it's whatever I want, and to fool me with whatever God has to say. Well, you know what? You can say that. But that doesn't change that God is still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he says, this will kill you, this will harm you, that doesn't change just because we don't want to believe it. It still exists whether we want to believe it or not. It does not change. God does not change from his ways of putting his word and his word into action. As far as it being, this is bond, this is solid, this is what I'm saying. God does not change his word from being solid. It's never flimsy. It's never, oh, I can poke holes in that. No, you can't. You can try. But you can try and come up with every explanation in the world and every excuse that you want. But at the end of the day and at the beginning of the day, God's word still remains. What he says is wrong is wrong. What he says is right is right. What he says belongs to him belongs to him. What he says does not belong to him does not belong to him. What he says does not belong to us and we should not do and should not have is what we should not do and should not have. It does not change because you don't want to believe or believe it, or think, you know, well, I got my own philosophy, or Aristotle's philosophy, I got Sigmund Freud's philosophy, and all the great philosophers' philosophy. Well, you know, holes can be poked into theirs too. And I can say that because God is God, and his word is true, and he's proven it in lifetime, on this earth, for centuries. And you know, unfortunately, so hasn't the devil. So hasn't the devil. What he is for himself, the devil, that is who he is. Now, he masquerades himself and advertises, you know, trying to advertise like the kingdom of God, like everything is kosher and beautiful and good. I told you, he comes as an angel of light. And so seeing is not believing, okay, because you can see things and what you are seeing is not what actually is. All right? So let's get into what the scripture, what the holy scripture, what God's word says, because God says his holy word, which is called the Bible, is one that was not made by man. It was written by man, and it was written by man with what is learned about God and what is known about God, given to man by God's Holy Spirit. Because you cannot know about the true and living God. You cannot know who he truly is, who his spirit truly is, who Yeshua Jesus truly is, and how they function and what they mean by what they say unless And this is God saying this, unless His Holy Spirit brings that revelation to you. You can only catch what's on the surface, what you think it's saying. Okay? So let's get into the word. Isaiah 61, and it says, in Isaiah 61, you can follow me there. It says here, 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, that means freedom, to the captives. Captives are people who are held captive by something or someone. And sometimes humans are held captive by something and someone and don't even realize it. See, unfortunately for the world we live in today, unless it is seen with the natural eye, then, you know, well, they're not captive. Well, they look beautiful. They're dressed nice. They got good language, went to good schools, came from a good family. They're not captive. They're wealthy, got a lot of money. They're not captives. Really? Who told you that? Who told you that? It is what is in the spiritual realm. And if you cannot discern beyond what you can see with your natural eyes, it is a very dangerous thing. Whether you are a believer in Yeshua right now and you're listening to me, or whether you're not, it is a dangerous thing to live only by your natural senses. Because you really do not know what is going on. Continuing on, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord in the day of vengeance our God, to comfort all that mourn. The acceptable year of the Lord is the time of Jubilee. And I am talking about not in Western English and understanding. I'm talking about because the Bible is a Hebrew book. It was written by Hebrew men. Jesus was a Hebrew, not a Palestinian. Okay? He followed all the feasts that God made and had the Jews to follow. If you read the Old Testament, ask God to open your eyes and your heart. You will see that and understand that. It is not the Jewish feast. Jews do follow it. Almost every Jewish person. It's what God made. He said, these are my holy convocations. Read Leviticus 23, okay, and ask the Lord God to open your eyes. The whole Old Testament, and really the whole book of these holy scriptures, but a whole lot of the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, okay, and Joshua. You have going into those, and then it goes into Joshua. All of those speak of, in Hebrew, ancient Hebrew, God loves us, we are to love him, honor him by obeying his word, which is in Hebrew, it commands his word. Torah is instruction. So when you see it says law, it's not talking about law as far as what man thinks of law today, okay? That is a mistranslation. It is Torah, all right? And a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, but it did happen. A lot of the Jewishness was taken out of the Word of God, one because of anti-Semitism, and then the other one was because of ignorance and misunderstanding, okay? So not everybody did it because they were anti-Semitic, so don't get it wrong. Saying, no, Prophetess Lisa said everybody who translated the Bible was anti-Semitic. No, that's not what I'm saying. Some were, and some did it out of ignorance, not knowing, because the Bible was written, the Holy Scriptures is what it's called, in Hebrew language. And it wasn't called Christianity until the time of the first church. It was called, and Jesus said, the way. And that's what Jews knew it as. That's what non-Jews knew it as, that came to knowing Yeshua as Lord and Savior in his time. And before he went to the cross, being saved was going into the mikvah, which is like, it's a pool. Mikvah in Hebrew, it's a pool. It's being baptized. And they were being baptized. That is removing failure and defeat from your life, not an outwardly act for inwardly work, because Jesus was baptized
And Jesus was baptized before he went to the cross. Okay? So that is something that comes straight from Hebrew. Without the Jewish people, there would be no Christianity. And so looking back at the five books of the Bible, this always talks about love me, the Lord your God, and obey my word, follow my word, keep my word, return to me. Return to me. Return and obey. Because the children of Israel were in bondage after a time from coming from Genesis. And they got themselves in bondage because there were times of disobedience, just like, you know, us humans today. Nobody wanted to honor God and listen to what God had to say. And Israel went through a time, and they still go through a time. They're God's special people. They're chosen people. And God chose them and made them his holy nation. Not just the people, but the land. He made it his holy nation. So it doesn't matter who's a man has this mindset that when I go and I fight and I have war, that land, and I win, I take over that land belongs to me. Well, if God says that land does not belong to you, it don't belong to you, regardless of what physical action you have taken, or your country, or your people. When God says it's not yours, it's not yours. Do not have the Saul spirit, because Saul did the same thing. And Saul was tall and handsome, came from a wealthy family. He fought well. And when God said and used the prophet to tell him, you go to this land, you take nothing. You take nothing. He disobeyed God. And God was forgiven. And the grace ran out where God's grace with the person. God will turn around. If you're going to keep banging your head up against your own way, you want to do your own way of doing things, and you want to knock God's way out of the way, there's only so much time a person has to where God says, you know what, I'm going to leave you to your junk. When you're ready, you can come back. But unfortunately for Saul, he didn't even have the chance to come back, and that's the danger of saying, oh, I'll do it when I'm good and ready. You don't know whether you're going to have the time to come back to the Lord, because Saul did not. Him and his sons were conquered and killed and murdered and slaughtered and beheaded, and their bodies stuck up on a wall, okay? So being in disobedience to God does not pay at any shape or form or fashion, regardless of what anybody told you or what you see. This is an individual choice. And so when we look at what God says about karma, karma doesn't offer freedom. Karma doesn't offer healing or deliverance. Karma doesn't offer forgiveness, peace, or love. Karma is basically, oh, well, you know, that person, well, what they did, karma's going to come around and take care of them. Where's the faith? Where's the freedom in that? Where's the liberty? True freedom comes from God. You heard me just read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This was Isaiah speaking, and he was talking about Yeshua, okay? And I'm going to show you in a minute. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, who came and was coming. This is the part of the books of the prophets. He hadn't come yet, but there were prophets that God spoke to and gave a word to speak about the one who was to come. Who was the one that was to come? It was the Son of the living God, and that's what this is speaking of. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings unto the meek, and he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Where's the liberty in karma? And to open up the prison to them that are bound. Where's being free from being bound? You're bound with that action, that the wrong that the person has done to you, okay? And we're talking about wrongs here. We're talking that which the person has done to you to harm you, and that person's power, the power in that thing over your life and in your life to keep you bound. You're getting upset every time you hear or even think about it. You're always talking to somebody else about it, and you're getting upset then. Inside, you don't even know in your physical body, because it's been proven. If you read the book by Carolyn Leaf,
She is a neurologist, research neurologist, the neurologist doctor. And she's a Christian also. And she's also studied with those who are non-Christians. And what they found is that her book is Who... Oh, gosh, I just forgot the name of the book. But it has something to do with the brain. Oh, Who Turned Off My Brain? Okay, that's what it is. And so what they found was is unforgiveness, okay, and negative feelings. As they look, and doctors will tell you this today, if you got something that or somebody that you're angry about, forgive them. Because even doctors who aren't saved, who aren't Christians, who don't know the Lord, have found that forgiveness brings medical issues in the body and can cause even death. Okay, for the brain, it makes a black spot in the brain, especially near that front temporal lobe, your forehead area, and where all the creativity and right and wrong that is in that area that God has placed there so that we are able to tell right from wrong and our creativity and everything else in different parts of our brain, it creates like, it looks like a web, and it's black, okay, literally. It looks like a web. It looks like maybe tree branches. And when that thing gets in your brain, it is literally a blockage. Now, you know your brain sends messages from the brain to the body for the body to do certain things that it's supposed to do. So you got to be careful. Going to the book of Luke, okay? Going to the book of Luke. Because we're talking about what karma does not offer. All right? It doesn't offer freedom, healing, deliverance, forgiveness, peace, or love. And the peace is that it doesn't offer the peace which surpasses all understanding that comes from God. It doesn't offer the love that comes from 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love is patient, love is kind, love keeps no records of wrong. If you're keeping records of the wrong that somebody has done to you, that's not love. Karma doesn't offer that. Okay, it has nothing to do with God. All of this, what karma does offer is humanity being involved. And there are times when people will say, oh, well, that's the karma coming back on you. It's the person's taking their step to do what it is that they want to do. Or they're expecting another human being who has done situations and circumstances, who created situations and circumstances to be brought upon that person. Okay, it's human-driven, it's man-driven, which affects the mind, which affects the body, the spirit, okay, and the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. But God, however, okay, when it's God-driven and from God's kingdom, God brings forgiveness, healing, freedom, deliverance, joy unspeakable, peace, which is supernatural to all human beings that surpass all understanding. The roots, the seeds come from God. Those are seeds that come from God. The root is his kingdom. This is what it says in Luke 4, chapter 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus, Yeshua speaking, who Isaiah spoke about. In the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to remove the sight of blindness from the sight of those who are blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeshua spoke what Isaiah spoke, and he is the one that Isaiah spoke of. It comes from the kingdom of God. So in reference to, is karma the same as the living God? No, it is not. Today, know that God offers you freedom, healing, and deliverance, love, and peace, and joy in him that surpass all human understanding. Well, this is your sister Lisa Cox, prophetess Lisa Cox. Be blessed and have an awesome weekend. Father, bless them and keep them.
Make your face shine upon them and be gracious to them, Lord God, and establish them in your peace. Establish us in your peace, O Father. Let this word seep deep in the heart of people, Father God, and not be lost. Bring someone to yourself. Woo them by your love. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Save, heal, deliver, and set the captives free, as you said in your word in Luke 4:18-19. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and cover this time and seal it by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach and your Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Bye-bye.